next session, number 20058, Reel 2.
Major Frank Broderick, Reel 2. Why was it necessary to provide escorts on trains by the Ninth Borders in India?
Because at that time, and which I should have said earlier, Gandhi was had a lot of followers who caused trouble in the movement of troops, and the movement of trains, and that type of thing. There's quite a lot of trouble in Calcutta, that none of our people were wounded in any way, although we did see some of the results of Gandhi's firebombs and things of that nature.
What did you see precisely?
Well, they were minor sort of things, where they'd have a grenade, should we say, and toss it in a government building, that type of trouble. But it didn't ever really cause suffering to us.
So you saw the aftermath of grenade throwing, you mean?
Oh yes, I saw that. And the other thing which is going off for that, the Japanese occasionally, and it was occasionally, sent over a bomber or two bombers to bomb the city. But it was very, very small bombs. The bombs they dropped did damage if it was some soft target, like a hut or something, but if it fell on the ordinary road, it made about a foot deep crater, and that was all. And in connection with that, but it's not that sort of thing, I was coming out of the fort one. We were allowed to go out because they had film shows and cafes and things in the city. I was coming out, and as I was coming out, it had proper walls and a moat around the thing. Though there wasn't water in the moat, it was a shape of a moat, and they had houses on the outskirts of it, where civilian workers lived. Some of them were married with families and etc. Well, as we were going out through this particular exit from the fort, a little girl came running out of one of these houses, saying about there was a mad dog in the house, but we'd only been there about a fortnight then, and to be quite honest, mad dogs didn't mean anything to us. So I went in the house, and there's this little girl, she was about 8 or 9, took me in the house, and there was two little sisters were standing on a table, and there was a little dog running round and round and yip yip yipping. So it didn't seem to show that much harm about it, so I picked it up and took it out, and there were some of our own people on guard duty at that exit. I handed it over and said, you know, deal with it. And then I went off with this other chap for my evening out. Came back in, and all the fort was turned out because someone had been bitten by a mad dog. So it turned out to be us, of course, or me. Whereupon I had to report to the doctor in the fort, who was an Indian, and I went and had an injection, and I had to go, I think it was once a week or maybe twice a week, I can't be sure, to the doctor to have inoculations to my tummy, which was uncomfortable. And I said to the doctor, "When will I know I'm cured?" Well, he said it was simply, "You'll know." He says, "If you're still alive at the end of 6 months, you'll be all right." That was the humour of quite a lot of elderly Indians had quite a sense of humour. But I was going, I think it was twice a week, because this little girl as well, I was only scratched, not a good and true bite, it was just a scratch. She was the same. But when we'd been doing it about 3 weeks, we were joined by an Air Force lad. And the first time I saw him, he was a sergeant pilot. He was a fighter pilot in one of the aerodromes around the city. And a day or two later than that, there was a raid on the Calcutta. I think there were only two Japanese planes, but this particular lad was fighter pilot, went up in his plane and shot two planes down, which the next time we saw him, when he came for his inoculation, he was a flying officer, a pilot officer, he'd been moved up a step. It was a very pleasant lad called Pring, P-R-I-N-G. And we completed our course of inoculations. And right at the very end again, there was another Japanese raid. This lad went up in his plane again, but he either took the wrong plane or it hadn't been serviced properly. And because it blew up, or it crash landed, and he was unfortunately killed.
Did anybody catch rabies as a result of this incident?
No. It should have been tested for the animal itself, but it never was.
When you went out on these guards on trains, mm-hmm. How far afield did you go?
Usually about a couple of days, something like that, and then back in. The railways in those days were run by completely by Anglo-Indians, you know what I mean by that, and they were very kind to us. You know, if you had a patrol going on, on the train, they went to a lot of trouble to see that you lived as comfortably as was possible.
Were the trains ever, or the railway ever, interfered with whilst you were on these patrols?
No, they were, but none that we were concerned with at all.
Can you give any more details about these grenade attacks that you talked about?
I can't really. I was never part of one that had been damaged, but they were.
What was the attitude of Indians towards you as you went about your everyday business?
9 out of 10 were very kind, and particularly if you went out of cities, if you went into the countryside round Calcutta, the people there were very kind, and you know, they'd give whatever they had to give you. They'd try to give you things like that. People in towns, cities, varied. Some again were extremely friendly and kind. Others were as unpleasant as they could be, but not to the extent of attacking any of our people.
What would they do to be unpleasant?
Damage of vehicles and damage in that sort, that sense. Again, but if they were one of those oddities, if it was us white people, they seem to accept and treat quite well.
In what way could they damage the vehicle?
Sometimes, not very often, but sometimes when you're going around in Calcutta itself, stones were thrown, but they were minor damages.
What happened to you next, you and the battalion? You and the battalion?
We, first of all, we lost about 150 people, and they were sent into the Arakan. The units that were operating there were short of people, and they went there, and one or two officers did too, and in fact the Colonel Cottrell Hill, he was very good indeed. He went out the division that was operating in the Arakan. He went out as Brigade Major, no, not Brigade Major, that he was a full colonel in the divisional headquarters. I can't remember offhand the number of the division. But he was a very good soldier. It's a shame that he hadn't stayed with us, but he was very good indeed. And we then were told that we'd be joining the 17th Indian Division. And on the way to join them, we had to do some extra training and acclimatization sort of thing. We were sent up to a place called Shillong, which is on the east side of the Brahmaputra and Ganges, and sent to a place called, Shillong, Happy Valley. And I think we did two months there. It was hilly, very hilly country, and it took quite a bit of getting used to the change in altitude. And we were there for 2 months, and then sent off to join 17th Indian Division, which was a light division, which consisted of two brigades rather than three, ordinarily the three, but there were only two. The other ones were all Gurkhas. There was a
Don't worry about the names of the battalions.
They were all Gurkhas. There was the 2nd, 5th. I remember those names. 2nd, 5th, 1st, 4th, 1st, 10th. And there was another one I've forgotten the name of. But we were the one white battalion with them. And we were sent up to Imphal, and from Imphal down south to a place called Tidim, the village. From Tidim, we were sent to the brigade we were in, the two brigades. We were sent up to Kennedy Peak. It was the high point of that part of the world. It was supposed to be, I think it was 8,000 or 9,000 feet, but I know the Air Force said it was at least a minimum of 10,000 feet, which, in spite of the heat, should we say, as night came on, it was very cold indeed. In fact, sometimes you got icicles on trees and that sort of thing. But it was extremely cold. But we were then with, I think it was 63 Brigade, we were on Kennedy Peak, and about 3 miles further back towards Tidim was I think it was the 2nd, 5th, but it might not have been, and they were in immediate reserve. And there was no, as far as we were concerned, there was very little, should we say, real fighting. About 3 or 4 miles further down from Kennedy Peak, there was another peak that was occupied by the Japanese. They had artillery, that we had artillery, 25 pounders, but ours were not, for the most part, they weren't big enough. Whereas their artillery could just about reach us. Ours were dropping short on them. In that period, we did in fact take part in one set piece attack on the Japanese. It didn't cause any any great number of casualties, I should think, on both sides. My voice is going. The Gurkhas had quite a number of casualties. We had very few indeed, because we were really in sort of
what's the word you were thinking of? Slit trenches.
Slit trenches was one of them. Yes, we did use slit trenches. We, for most of the part, we were the secondary battalion. The first ones, and the number I remembered was the first 10th. They were really doing the attack on this Japanese position. We were there as a secondary unit. We had to follow the first 10th up when we were called for, and we were ordered to meet the brigadier, and he would be halfway up to the position that the first 10th were in. And I went with our CO, whose name was Verby, to meet the brigadier. And he'd arranged to meet at a little, it was a very small road anyway, but it was a little junction which we didn't see, went on. And about a half a mile further on, there was a roadblock, which I knew from aerial photographs wasn't ours, it was the Japanese one. We were fortunate. I bundled the CO off, and we went in the... there was quite jungly on the side of the road, and we went in and to find where this first 10th were. And in fact, we came out right upon the colonel, the first 10th man, and he'd been wounded. He had a few small wounds, which was blood trickling down his suit, which I think if it hadn't been for that, I would have been shot at dawn next day, because our colonel was most impressed by this chap, that he should continue fighting even though he'd been wounded to some extent. And it's something I'm sure he's dead now, but if he'd still been alive, he would still have been telling the tale of when he joined in an attack. And I'm also quite fairly sure that if we hadn't missed that chap, he would have, our won't say court-martial, but he would have said a lot of very rude things to me for that. But anyway, eventually they didn't get anywhere. They made no great impression on the Japanese position, simply had to withdraw as the day went on. And that, in fact, was the only time when we were there that there was an attack on this position. Something else they tried was to drop, I think it was a 10,000-pound bomb on the Japanese position. They had a Wellington to do it. And we all knew when this bomb was being dropped, and we all, the ones that could, were all sort of lined up 4 or 5 miles away to enjoy this big bang. Unfortunately, I think it was milestone 105 they were on, it was, the Wellington came in at an angle to drop his bomb. I could see it quite plainly, but it wasn't quite low enough. Went over the top, and a month or so later, the patrols found where it had been dropped, and it had killed a deer. They had little deer around about, and it had killed one of them. So that more or less ended the our efforts at attacks there. We did try to cause some damage to the Japanese on the flanks rather than straight ahead. And we wrecked it very carefully because there was a running from Kennedy Peak. There were sort of spurs of hills which you could follow along fairly easily, and which the Japs didn't seem to use. And but just across a valley 3 miles out, there's one or two Japanese positions which we tried to attack, in fact did attack, but again came to no real use. We did, it sounds as if we'd done nothing, but we were fortunate in that one or two, certainly, fighting patrols that were sent out on the east side of Kennedy Peak, and they both ran into Japanese patrols and killed quite a few. But nothing else